Well, good morning, everyone. On this Sunday, 18th Sunday after Trinity. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. We gather before you today, O God, eager to hear your word and learn from it. You have given us all the instruction we need to live in ways that please you, and we gather to worship you now. Amen. God, who is eternal love, whose word speaks love to our hearts, we adore you and praise your holy name. Christ, who is love incarnate, whose gospel showed us a new way, we adore you and praise your holy name. Holy Spirit, who opens the scripture to us, shedding light to aid our understanding, we adore you and praise your holy name. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And our prayer of confession. Heavenly Father, we are often slow to consult the wisdom of your word. When life presents us with problems, we wrangle with them in our own minds and often turn to Google instead of God. What need have we of a search engine when your word is the toolkit for our survival? We repent for forgetting about our Bibles and recommit ourselves to study your word in all its fullness, so that we may persist in our faith when the world throws problems in our path. Amen. Lord, you forgive us when our faith flags and falters. You are the enduring God who persists with us when we fail to persist with you. We thank and praise you for this faithful forgiveness, which never flags, never falters, endures to the end. Amen.
And our first reading this morning is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
Thanks be
be
to
to
God.
God.
Our psalm this morning is a psalm of comfort and a psalm of hope. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And our second reading this morning is taken from Luke 18, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
Thanks
God."
be to God. Thank you, Helen. I'm sure you'll remember from a couple of weeks ago that Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, told him that he constantly remembered him in his prayers. It's a wonderful blessing to be constantly remembered in prayer. And we agreed that the constant prayers for Steph had brought about the miracle that is her recovery. In verse 1 of today's reading in Luke chapter 18, Jesus told his disciples a parable about the need to pray constantly and never lose heart. It's worth noting that the two Greek verbs used to express to pray and lose heart are both in the present tense. One sense of these present tense Greek verbs is continuation. In other words, Jesus encourages us to pray continuously, without end, regardless of time. We, however, think about time from our own perspective. We often pray to God not only with a petition, but also with a timetable. God must answer my petition my way and according to my schedule. This goes against the truth that God does answer our prayers, but not always in the way we hope or when we hope. Prayer is without doubt powerful, but our Heavenly Father does what is best for us and cannot be manipulated. Jesus starts his parable with, "In a certain city." He sets his parable in an unnamed town that is presided over by an unjust judge who has no fear of God and no compassion for the people under his jurisdiction. In the Jewish community, a judge was expected to be impartial, to judge righteously, and to recognize that judgment ultimately belongs to God. He seems to have failed on all counts. He is incompetent and unqualified for the job, and so justice is not being served. William Barclay points out that this would not, however, have been a Jewish judge, because disputes in the Jewish world were brought to the elders. This judge was one of the paid magistrates appointed by Herod or the Romans. Such judges were notorious. Life can seem pretty unfair sometimes. I'm sure over the last 12 months you've said to yourself, "It's so unfair." Well, that was the position the widow in this parable found herself, and she wanted some sort of redress. In biblical times, widows were considered some of society's most vulnerable members. They often had no means to support themselves or defend their rights. If they had no man to stand up for them, then they had no recourse to the law. I think we can assume from Jesus' parable that this widow had no male to plead her case or press her rights for her. She therefore has to plead her own case. In spite of this, the widow is persistent. She won't give up. Time and again, she pesters the judge to sort out her problem with her adversary. She's good at nagging. She doesn't give in. Eventually, Jesus tells us, "For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" The literal translation of this is not "beat me down," but "beat me up like a boxer." Who says that Jesus didn't have a sense of humour? While the judge gives justice to the widow, he, in keeping with his nature, does so to rid himself of her never-ending clamouring, not out of compassion, the defence of justice, fear of God, or respect of men. He serves himself. He cannot cope with the constant nagging. In another translation of this paragraph, this passage, it says, "But since she keeps pestering me, I must give this widow her just rights, or she will persist in coming and worry me to death." The widow's petitions the judge for justice. Jesus wants his disciples to contrast the nature of the judge against the tender, faithful nature of God. Jesus explains his point. "If an uncaring, unfit, ungodly judge answers with justice in the end, how much more will a loving and holy father give what is right to his children?" We do not always get immediate results when we pray. Our definition of swift justice is not the same as the Lord's definition. The parable of the persistent widow demonstrates that effective prayer requires tenacity and faithfulness. A genuine disciple must learn that prayer never gives up and is based on absolute trust and faith in God. We can fully count on the Lord to answer when, where, and how he chooses. God expects us to keep on asking, seeking, knocking, and praying until the answers come. Disciples of Jesus are people of persistent faith. There are several contrasts between this judge and the God who hears our prayer. The judge was unfair. God is fair. The judge has no personal interest in the widow. God loves and cares for those who petition him. The judge answered the widow's cry out of pure self-interest. God loves to bless his people for their good also. Jesus presents a final question on the matter at the end of the parable. He asks, "But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" Just as Paul stresses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, continual devotion to prayer should be a way of life, the Lord wants to know if he will find any faithful prayer warriors left on earth when he returns. Will we be among God's people still praying at Christ's second coming, "Your kingdom come, your will be done"? Paul's command in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing could be confusing. Obviously, it can't mean that we're to be head bowed, eyes closed posture all day long. Paul is not referring to non-stop talking, but rather every waking moment is to be lived in an awareness that God is with us and that he is actively involved and engaged in our thoughts and actions. Persistence in prayer is a demonstration of one's trust and faith in our Heavenly Father, who loves and cares for each one of us, and who has redeemed us through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And now we pray, and our refrain this morning is, "Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord." This autumn, as the leaves change colour, we remember all those people who are facing change. We remember those getting used to being away from home, at college and university, and adjusting to new lives in new places. We remember those who prefer the light and warmth of the summer and fear the cold and darkness of this season. We remember those who are searching, displaced, lost, or feeling that they have no hope and no purpose. We remember all those for whom this is a difficult time, and we seek your help for them. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. This autumn, as the guns and sirens of the Middle East are quieter, we remember those caught up in that conflict. We remember those in Gaza who have returned to their homes to find nothing but wreckage and destruction. We remember those who mourn the deaths of loved ones and those who have been subject to imprisonment and cruel handling. We remember all the pain and anguish that thousands of people have and will continue to feel. We remember this tentative ceasefire, and we seek your peace for the future. Where does our help come from?
Our help
comes from the Lord. This autumn, as we gather as the people of God, we remember all those that help us to learn and to worship. We remember those who give their time to serve you in children's and youth work, sharing the gospel with the young. We remember our church leaders, ministers, and key volunteers who seek to make the joy of faith alive and real for our congregations. We remember all the people who quietly serve as Martha served your son Jesus, doing practical things and helping others feel welcomed and valued. We remember that you have given us your word to learn, to live by, and to cherish. We remember all those who serve us and seek your strength for them in all that they do. Where does our help come from? Our help comes
Help comes
from
from
the
the Lord.
Lord. This autumn, as Parliament has just returned after its long break, we remember all those in power and opposition. We remember those who aim to make the lives of others better and who are motivated by their love for you. We remember those who make big and important decisions and whose words can affect the lives of all people in our country. We remember those who seek fame and influence for the wrong reasons and ask that they may be filled with wisdom and caution. We remember all in local and national politics and seek your guidance for them. Where does our help come from? Our
Our
help
help
comes
comes from the
from the
Lord.
Lord. This autumn, as another season passes, we remember all those facing sadness, sickness, and fear. We remember those who have recently lost family or friends, who were close to them and feel that mourning and emptiness inside. And this morning we pray for those who are sick. Steph, Jacques, Rosemary, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Paul, Colin, Ian, Cynthia, John, Tom, Margaret, Susie, Elizabeth, Joy, David, Tony, and Anne. And we also remember in our prayers Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And this morning, we especially think of the family and friends of those who have recently died. Frances Moddy Lambert, Harry Han, Adrienne Addie Panifer, and Chris Whitehead. We remember those who are struggling with their health, who are patiently waiting for treatment, or who are facing an uncertain future. We remember those who have heard life-changing news and are coming to terms with what it means. We remember all in need and ask for your hope and healing to fill them as we pray. Where does our love come from?
Our help
Our
comes
help
from the
comes from
Lord.
the Lord.
Oh.
The collect for the 18th Sunday after Trinity. God, our Judge and Saviour, teach us to be open to your truth and to trust in your love, that we may live each day with confidence in the salvation which is given through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Almighty Heavenly Father, you are always faithful to us. Help us to stay connected to you through our prayer and reading of your scriptures. Help us, O Lord, to set aside times in our busy lives to devote ourselves fully to you. Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Go with the love and power of God to be the best that you can be and to be God's faithful servant in the weeks ahead. Amen.